The scripture we have read comes at the close of one of Paul's most sublime passages. He has been thinking of an inescapable fact in human experience, the fact of death. Every man commonly thinks in some degree of death. We buy life insurance, we write our wills, we purchase burial lots. The Chinese even go so far as to buy their caskets and keep them in their homes a long while before death. But Paul not only thought of death, but of something much more important. He thought of the judgment. For he said, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after death, the judgment." He said again, "We must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad." The judgment is a great, inescapable reality. Death does not end all. A bullet crashing through the brain of Adolf Hitler in the bomb cellar does not end his personal story. 22,000 people in Japan who last year took their own lives have not ended their course. There awaits a day for every man when we stand at the judgment bar of God. Looking therefore upon the reality of death and judgment, Paul felt no fear because something had happened in his own experience. He had met Jesus Christ. He expresses what took place in these terms. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, they have become new. Because of this experience, the Apostle Paul was aware he had become reconciled to God. And he said, "God has committed unto me and to all others who believe in his name the word of reconciliation." We read therefore this statement from him: "We are ambassadors therefore on behalf of Christ. As though God were entreating by us, we beseech you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God." It is true that every man needs to be reconciled to God. This is because sin has stained every human life. The message of the Bible is clear on this matter. We read, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." We read again, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible tells us plainly, "There is none good, no, not one." Jesus said, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of God." Again said the Savior, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The fact is that every human life in the world is stained by sin. Sin has estranged us from God. Sin is no light and unimportant matter. It raises a barrier between man and God. That barrier must be removed. Therefore, it is important, yea, it is absolutely essential, that we be reconciled unto God. The great tragedy in America is that man somehow thinks he can, by living a life that in the eyes of his fellow man is respectable and somewhat commendable, he can enter thereby into the presence of God. Many a man acts upon the theory that if he is a good citizen and is worthy of trust in his community, being kind and generous to his own family and leading a decent moral life, perhaps being worthy of being trusted by his fellows with some public responsibility, he must thereby be qualified to come into the presence of the holy God. This man forgets that sin has stained every human life, and that sin must be removed before we can stand in the presence of God. The fact is that every man apart from Jesus Christ is lost and in deadly peril. Jesus himself said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" even though a man may not sense the peril in which he stands, that does not reduce the peril, for every man, apart from Jesus Christ, is lost. And the Bible uses this expression to describe his real condition. He is without hope and without God in the world. The Apostle Paul, therefore, would say to us, every man is in need of being reconciled to God. Reconciliation to God is possible because Jesus Christ has died for our sins. Paul said in this scripture, him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins sets before us the wonder of the love of God. The most marvelous thought we can entertain is that the God who made the heavens and the earth, against whom we have sinned, still loves all of us. His heart of love reaches out toward every man, regardless of station in life, be he high or low, rich or poor, learned or illiterate, regardless of race, regardless of nationality, regardless of location in the world, God loves that man or woman. God has made him. He is God's own creature, and God's heart goes out to him. It is small wonder that the most blessed verse in all the Bible, anywhere the gospel is carried into any land, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thus it is, the death of Christ for our sins makes known to us the wonder of the love of God. It also sets out before us the glory of our Lord's atonement, that he died on the cross, that his blood might remove the stain and the guilt of our sin. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. There is no way in all the wide world for any man to come into the presence of God except his sins have first been washed away. Jesus Christ loved us, and he loosed us, he washed us from our sins by his blood. This is the glory of his atonement. In saying that reconciliation to God is possible because Jesus died for our sins, we think about the triumph of his resurrection and the glory of his intercession. Our Lord arose from the dead, and today he is at the right hand of the Father, there to make intercession for us. It is because he is a living Savior. We, with our weaknesses and our sinfulness and our unworthiness, can come unto God by him, put our trust in Christ, be washed clean of sin, and find in the living Savior the help we need to win the victory over sin. Any man, therefore, can be reconciled unto God by faith in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. This wonderful blessing can come regardless of the extent of sin into which a man is gone or the length of delay which is marked his coming to Jesus. Even though our sins are as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. For the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Even though a man has delayed many years, he can still come to Christ for redemption. You may be like that man lying by the pool of Siloam, 38 years lying there in his infirmity. But Jesus said to him, wouldest thou be made whole? And then Jesus made him well. Though you've been these many years without Christ, if you put your trust in him as your personal Savior, you may know this wonderful privilege of being reconciled to God. You must remember, however, that this can come to you only
as you repent of sin and believe on Christ as your personal Savior. Never think that the kingdom of God is just like some social organization or fraternal order into which a man may come by some kind of ceremony. It is rather a kingdom of righteousness into which a man must be born again. It has a very definite way of entering. And Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is a gate, and broad is a way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is a gate, and narrow is a way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." What is a gateway into heaven? It's repentance of your sin. It's faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When this comes into your life and your experience, any man whose soul looks to Jesus can be saved. The Apostle Paul therefore says, "This is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time." And I would urge upon your heart this moment that even as you hear this broadcast, this is a time of salvation for you. Not tomorrow, not after some delay, not after more hesitation, but even now, kneeling down by your radio, looking up to Jesus Christ as your Savior, saying to him in your heart, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Have mercy upon me, the sinner." Even now, you may be saved. Our Father, grant this moment that many a heart may look to Jesus Christ, trusting him as Savior, and find this wonderful salvation from sin. Amen.
This has been The Baptist Hour, produced, transcribed by the Radio and Television Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. Paul M. Stevens, Director. The Baptist Hour Choir is directed by R. Paul Green. Today's speaker was Dr. Roy O. McLean, pastor of the First Baptist Church, Atlanta, Georgia. If you'd like a copy of this message, you may have one without cost. Simply address your letter to The Baptist Hour, Fort Worth, 16, Texas. Oh.